Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
There's a drive to right field. Well struck. Retreating is Greg Allen. He's at the warning track. And that ball is off the right field wall. Throw to second, not in time. Verdugo just missed a home run. There goes the no-hitter. Pitch hit hard down the left field line toward the corner. Fair ball off the wall and a hop. Off the bat of Hunter Renfroe. Back-to-back two-base hits. Little looping line drive. Shallow right center. That's going to fall for a hit. It's a bloop single for Christian Vasquez, and it's a 4-2 game.
Loaizaga comes set right below his chin. The pitch hit hard toward the left field corner. Another base hit. Vasquez being waved around. He will score. Cordero to third. It's a double for Kike Hernandez.
And a 4-3 New York lead. And still nobody out. Britton's 1-0. Swing, pop fly, right field near the line. Not particularly deep. Kike's tagging. Allen the catch. Allen's throw to the plate. Not in time. Hernandez comes sliding in hand first ahead of the tag from Sanchez. And the Red Sox have turned the tables on the Yankees from four down to one ahead here in the eighth inning.
That was Sean McDonough. No relation, actually a big time relation to Will McDonough. I actually said Will McDonough but first. Doesn't he sound great? Like, you know, baseball, just the way it is as far as listening to it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many just dull moments. It's just because that's the way the game is.
It's moving slow. I get you, but I enjoy, I think a lot of people do, like when they listen to the Red Sox game on AEI or the Odyssey app, which you can get in all six states now, thank goodness. I enjoy the comfort that the game brings.
For those of you who don't speak Spanish, El Nino means the Nino.
Now Will is great, by the way. I love our broadcast crew. It's Fitzy and Forey in here, OMF. That sounded unbelievable. Now that is a guy, like when there's lots of action, there's lots of intrigue, when you have five run inning in the bottom of the eighth, when you're down four runs. And the next thing you know, and you're getting no hit on top of it. And then sure enough, you get Domingo Germán out of the game. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, you get five runs, one after the other. And then the crowd gets into it. That's Sean McDonough sounding like he's calling a football game, like a two-minute drill.
Rising to the occasion, his emotional level, and that's what the great broadcasters can do. They rise to the occasion, their energy lifts as that of the crowd, and the moment does as well. I told you earlier, my big three, my power rankings of broadcasters in the game, or just overall in America these days, it's Gus Johnson, I love Mike Tirico, and Sean McDonough.
Derek Johnson, the all-time leading tackler in the history of the games, with a touchdown!
Who was that?
Sean McDonough.
That's number three on Fitzy's list.
You didn't know that Sean?
His voice was cracking.
Have you ever heard? I mean, he gets so fired up. He had, there was the broadcast where the Chiefs lost to the Titans in the wild card round a couple years ago. But especially, Brian, maybe you can find Sean McDonough when he did the call of Michigan losing when the punter dropped the ball to Michigan State a couple years ago.
Ooh.
Absolutely all-time moment in college football.
Yeah.
Sean had one of those great, like, and the punter draw. But anyway, he's great. Yes. And as far as last night's game, or rather yesterday's game goes.
Like, if you were listening to that game.
You get fired up.
It was.
Yes, Michael
K. I had not
K,
heard, like, Ryan did an excellent job.
Great job.
You know, with that. Because that, to me, is why it's cool to be a Red Sox fan again. Like, it's cool. Like, this is the cool kids want to be fans of the Red Sox. The cool kids want to go to Red Sox games. I mean, let's not forget that they did take another series from the Yankees.
Yep.
So they took 3 out of 4, and especially after Saturday's game.
And 3 comeback wins.
And all 3. So that's their 32nd comeback of the year. Now, was that their best win of the year?
It was the biggest win of the year for the Red Sox.
You sound like Greenberg.
He's not the greatest, but he's the best.
It was their biggest win. It was their best win. It was the most important win because they came back and defeated the Yankees in later in the game, the same way the Yankees shocked the Sox Saturday. I told you, I tuned out in the 7th Saturday. Eovaldi was cruising. It was 3-0. They had this on lockdown. It would just go to Ottavino and then Barnes. Red Sox win 3 in a row. They're going for the sweep on Sunday. When I heard late Saturday night that they blew it and lost 4-3, and it was a series of bloops and some mistakes, and I cannot believe they did that. To turn around the next day, when you could lose momentum against the Yankees, kind of let them back into it a little bit, or keep them believing and maybe thinking, should we be buyers instead of sellers, which they really need to be now, to be no hit through 7 innings, and all of a sudden turn around, score 5 in the 8th, and come back like that, now you take momentum back. You continue with this emotional high. And at the same time, you just shovel dirt on the Yanks. The Yankees are dead.
Yeah, it's funny because the Yankees, they can't hold a lead.
The Yankees lose.
So they've now lost. They have 3 losses with a 4-run lead in the 8th or later, which is tied for the most in a single season in franchise history. They can't hold on to a lead. So just as far as, you know, personality, team personality, like there's a lot to be said with that. Some guys are funny. You know, some guys will have, you know, great characters, great attitudes, never give up mentality. Some teams will only have the character and they just suck.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you'll have a very talented team, but nobody likes each other.
Yeah, this team.
They have everything.
It. Yeah.
No, they do.
Yeah, the Red Sox right now have everything going for them. You have stars like Xander Bogaerts and J.D. Martinez, and I think the next big star in Boston sports overall, Rafi Devers, who just is the complete package, and I would sign him to whatever I need to, 8-10-year deal now. Because if he can't play third in a couple of years, guess what you have? The best DH in the American League and a big poppy sequel. You've got role players. Kike Hernandez is the face of, I know the face of the 2021 Red Sox might be Cora, who's going to be manager of the year. It could be laundry cart rides in general and the joy that they bring every time they do that in the dugout. To me, it's Kike Hernandez. This guy does everything. He's played at almost every position. Tonight he's filling in for Bogey, playing shortstop, plays a hell of a second base, plays a mean center field, and he has a cannon for an arm. And oh, by the way, as producer extraordinaire Ryan Garvin reminded me earlier in the program.
Who's that?
I'm
paying props to the boys who are doing a great job in the box in there today. Over the last 10 games, his slugging percentage is 1,000. Like, he's killing it these days. He is and he does it everywhere, and it's timely, and it's clutch, and he cares. So these guys have. Why last year they had a bunch of a hodgepodge team. The COVID season had nothing going on. They had sad Uncle Ron managing, no pitching staff whatsoever. Now you've got some effective relievers. You've called up the youth movement with bringing Duran and Hauk, and you've got guys like Marwin Gonzalez and Kike, who you can plug in all over the place. Christian, this team believes in itself. They know they're good, and they got a little bit of something all across. Like, they're a complete team.
Yeah, so Verdugo breaks up the no-hitter, okay? Then Loaisiga, I think I'm saying that guy's name. I have no idea.
Esteban Loaisiga.
Okay.
Came back from COVID just in time to crap the bed.
So don't you think, and this is kind of like, they're like almost assassins. They just kind of wait, and they're patient, and they don't really get overly emotional. Like, the situation doesn't really freak them out. Hell, they've done it 32 times, so they should be ready for it, as opposed to the Yankees, who constantly can't stop losing leads. Like, you know, big-time leads. Like, what is it? What did I say? 3-run leads? Like, come on.
On the regular.
So, sure enough, I just knew that they were just waiting. As soon as somebody was able to knock Herman out of the game, that is when the rally was going to happen. So I go to Kike Hernandez, your favorite Boston Red Sox now, right? Can I say that right?
Yeah, right now, currently on this team, yes.
There's a lot to choose from. Because we're giving Cora a lot of props for last week. Remember when he changed the lineup? Mm-hmm. And like, and then JD Martinez was like basically talking about how, you know, he had a crystal ball.
He bumped Jaren Duran to the 2 spot. Verdugo got knocked down to the 6 spot.
And it seemed like, and it really paid off. What, they have like 11 runs, something crazy. That's when they were playing in Buffalo.
It was the 8 runs in the first inning.
Yeah, Snowman that's right.
In the first. Yeah, yeah.
So suddenly there it is. So this the reputation and the legend of Alex Cora just grows when you hear what Kiki Hernandez had to say post game.
At what point did you start thinking, you know, you guys had a chance to pull this off?
Well, things weren't looking great. And when AC went up to the mound and he took Yaxel out of the game and he brought in JT, he said to us, if JT gets out of this inning, we're winning this game. And next inning, the hitting still went the same. But, you know, you trust what AC says. A lot of times he sees things before they happen, and you just go with it. And if he says that we're going to win this game, it's probably going to happen. And they score one more, but we've said it many times. We're not out of a game till the game's over, and we proved that today.
There you go.
Doesn't matter what he tells them; they'll believe it.
They're never out of it. They never believe they're out of it, and they will listen to anything if he tells them. To walk through broken glass into a burning room. They'd be like, real good chance that's going to help us win the game today. You got it, coach.
See, I do think that baseball just in general, I feel like has the reputation or the stigma, maybe that's better, of being just your grandfather's team, your grandfather's sport. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, I'm going to go cut the grass and drink a Narragansett as I, mow the lawn.
Whoa, I think you're speaking to everyone's dreams. There's nothing I enjoy more than...
there's an interesting story behind this, Nickel.
Back in my day, I used to appreciate that. Homer, I don't know what I'm doing.
What's so unappealing about hearing your elderly father talk about sex?
We want Matlock.
There's nothing I enjoy more than cutting the
grass.
You're the only one. You're the only one.
What's wrong? Cutting the grass, drinking a Gansett.
I don't cut my grass.
And then, well, are you one of those?
I do everything else, but I have a thing about cutting my grass. I did it as a job for years and years and years as a kid. The one thing I said is when I finally had some money, the one thing I wasn't going to do was cut my own grass.
How'd you like to mow my lawn?
No. So let me go to Joe in Maine. He thinks this is the biggest one of the season. Also, Joe, what's up?
Hey,
and turn your radio down, Joe.
Yeah, I totally think it is. And, I think it is for more than just they did to the Yankees. I think it was huge because at the same time, Tampa was getting comeback on and Cleveland won. So I think the double whammy there was huge. And I also wanted to tell you right off the bat, I love your prank phone calls, but I'd like to give you some constructive criticism if I could.
I'm always open to it. Go ahead.
It seemed like, the rest of the country stations kind of caught on and they kind of got together and was like, listen, we're not going to let this D-bag ruin our shows. I think if you start it up again and just pump on the brakes a little bit, don't go so far, I think you could do it hilarious.
Is this Lou? Thanks, Joe. That's the same thing Lou used to tell me.
Because Lou is right, just like
yes,
that last
call. Yes, and for the record, though, so it was easy doing those prank calls because, one, I would do Buffalo twice a year and they never caught on. Nope. But I could say whatever I wanted to say, and they always won. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of safety in doing that. Now, what am I going to brag about?
Tom Brady.
Cam Newton's going to throw 10 balls in the dirt. Like, what am I going
to
do?
Let's go to Chris in Massachusetts. Chris, good evening. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how you doing?
Quite well.
Hello? I just want to... I'm calling because
thanks for the call, Chris. Really enjoyed it. Bill is up next in Nashville. Bill, go right ahead.
Rich Feinbaum thought you were too weird for his show.
Paul Feinbaum.
I'm sorry, Paul Feinbaum.
I don't know what to tell you.
Paul Feinbaum, who takes SEC calls for a living, thinks you're too weird for his show.
No, I remember I wasn't ready for that call. They said I was going to be on hold for like an hour, and the next thing you know, they're like, hey. I was like, oh, crap. I had nothing to say. I wasn't ready.
You're going to have an hour to work on your material?
I don't know. Well, let's see if Spencer in Beverly has something to say. You think Cora made a mistake by pulling Duran?
Guys, let me just paint the scenario for you. Let me paint the picture. Before the game started yesterday, Cora got on TV and said that this kid's going to be he's an amazing talent. He brings a spark to the team that a lot of other teams don't have. On and on and on. The kid's had a great start, right? Before yesterday's game, you know, he's hit for power. He showed the home run ball. He's had a good discipline at the plate for the most part. He's drawn a few walks. He's had a couple hits, a single and a double, I believe. You know, and then all of a sudden, nobody was getting hits yesterday. Nobody threw seven, right? It was, the guy was throwing a no-no. So it's not like everyone else was hitting on the team, and then Jaron gets up there and just looks like an idiot. That's not what took place. What took place was they took that guy out of the game, and then all of a sudden everyone started rolling down the line. Everyone's getting hits. Why do you take the bat out of this kid's hands to hurt his psyche, hurt his confidence?
See,
get him to start thinking twice every time he gets to the plate. That's not how you handle it.
Okay, thanks. I disagree. Mm. Like, he was 0 for 2 at that point in time. Yep. The rally was going.
Yep.
Was he ended up? Okay, so yeah. I know he was not having a good day, but yes, you're right, Spencer. Everybody was struggling. Her mom was just like killing everybody. But at that point in time, I was fine with it. Like, his psyche is not going to be hurt. Like, can we slow play this guy? He's not going to come up and be Mookie Betts day one.
This kid has big league swag and confidence, and we've seen that he stepped up. He's got a good bat. He's got nice plate discipline, has great speed. You think all of a sudden his manager, who everyone believes in the moves of, and yeah, he's going to get more right than he gets wrong, but he's also going to get some of them wrong. You think that all of a sudden him getting pulled or making a move like that because Cora's trying to get a feel for what the team needs is going to affect his confidence long term? No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, if you want to have an issue, the at-bat that I had an issue with was Frenchy Cordero earlier on when it was like he was going to try and bunt.
Yeah.
And then it was like, is he making this decision on his own? I was like, why in the hell is he showing a bunt? First pitch. What are you doing? Swing away.
Right.
That was a smaller issue, but is he established enough to call his own shot? Like, who's telling him, do what you want, whatever you feel like, go ahead and do? When the game is that important, you're going to let that dude just kind of freelance?
No, I don't necessarily think he was freelancing.
I mean, that's what they were talking about. It seemed like he was just like on his own there. It made no sense. Like, maybe there's bunting at that point in time made no sense.
There's an issue of somebody needing to build confidence back by getting on base.
Exactly. All right, I'm going to take a couple more, and then I want to get to the Olympics. Here's Matt and Walpole.
Matt and Walpole, going,
what's up? What's up, buddy?
I just wanted to remind everyone what the fill-in guy, Mutt, or Otis, however you want to say it,
Otis.
Said last week on the program that TK Hernandez shouldn't be playing every game. He should be a utility guy who's more of a rotation guy. And then ever since then, I mean, this guy's like the best leadoff hitter in baseball ever since he got the spot. So just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention there.
He wants to remind Mutt that he made a mistake.
Oh, wow.
Was that was it?
We have a corrections department? I mean, corrections
Mutt
department?
Did say that Kike Hernandez is not an everyday player for the Red Sox, and then I think Kike put together 8 RBIs in the next 3 games. He's slugging 1,000.
So he heard what Mutt was talking about.
I think Kike heard him.
I think home runs in both games up in Buffalo against the Blue Jays last week.
He has 10 hits, 8 of them are for extra bases.
Yeah.
But he's not an everyday player.
Not an everyday player. As in, like, he's not an everyday player, Mr. Benanski, yeah, at a certain position?
He's a bum. He's a terrible guy that just won American League Player of the Week. But no, he's not an everyday player.
That's a good point. He is the face of these Red Sox.
All right,
TK Hernandez is exactly what the 2021 Red Sox are all about. Energy, belief, selflessness, versatility.
I feel like that was, like, more Mutt rage. Like, let me show that I'm angry about something. And which I think we're both going to have to adopt right now. I think we both have an issue with Team USA and the way that they are playing basketball in the Olympics.
Wow, we just went from super positive to super
negative. We're going to go, no,
we're going to, it's going to stay high.
This is going to be a learning, this is going to be a learning segment right here, because Team USA lost 83-76 to Team France.
France is on a 9-0 run. Long range. Durant for 3. Americans get it back. Trailing by 2. Corner 3, Holiday. In and out. 23 seconds to go. Meanwhile, the United States getting multiple.
I mean, excellent looks. I mean, it's just guys who like Lillard, who's been hitting, who you want to have a shot. Obviously, Durant. And even Holiday, who's been on fire this period, it's unfortunate.
That's what it sounded like. And it wasn't even that loud because it was so quiet. But I have an issue with this for a bunch of reasons. One, it's the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I believe that as Americans, that you should support every single event and every single person competing in these events in the Olympics, just like you would your favorite pro football team, sure, your favorite college team, your wherever you went to school. Like your emotional interaction should be the same. You should be angry when they just don't even show up. You should be embarrassed that they're representing the United States. Like, to me, it's unacceptable. It is unacceptable because I just feel like they don't want to be there. Like, it's not important to them. They don't care whether they win or lose, because if they cared, they would be diving around on the floor like the French team was, trying just, whatever they could do to will their team to win. They have better athletes. They're better players. They supposedly have the best coach in the history of the NBA, and they're gonna allow France to go on a 16-2 run and not do anything to stop them. Just, we'll figure it out. Oh, they won't catch up. Oh, no. Oh, no. Now Fournier hits a three-pointer to put them up two. You get the ball back in the next possession, and you can't hit a shot to save your life.
Because all they did was take three-point shots. And I thought that clip, which was in my little recap I put on WEEI yesterday, and it, to me, is something that I feel like every basketball fan, every American, every person who, like you said, takes pride in our national sports, in the Olympics, and what they're supposed to mean and represent, should be furious with the way that they played that game, but especially the end of the game. Nobody drove for a basket. No great passing. Everyone was looking for a three-point shot. Tatum, then Durant, then Drew Holiday, and they all miss. And then Yabusele, who can't even make it from France back to the Celtics, can't play in the NBA.
Garçon Yabusele?
Gershon, Gas, Han, Yabusa, however the hell you pronounce it.
Resume?
Yeah. Chardonnay, sure. Cabernet.
Cabernet, resume?
Champs-Élysées.
That would be my
French makes
name.
A great rebound. He plays his ass off yesterday because the U.S. isn't ready for international style of ball. They're not good at the FIBA style. It's all too isolationist. It's way too me first. But the way that segment played out was an indictment of American basketball, NBA basketball, the way this team is handling themselves, and it's an embarrassment. And to your point about the excitement level, there was this clip that went hyper-viral last night as, I believe it was, the Australian swimmer beat the greatest female swimmer of all time, Katie Ledecky, last night in the 400-meter, not her strongest.
Yep.
Apparently the 800 and other stuff is what she still has a chance to win and is expected to. Did you see the react? There's the Australian coach who rips off his mask and basically treats like a partition, like it was the ring, as the ultimate warrior. That's what I want to see. I want to see somebody get excited or fired up. Hold someone accountable. Durant, you know what? Now is when I do want to see you barking at Tatum and saying you should be playing better. Damian Lillard should be saying, hey, if you're going to suck, get out of the way. I'll win this game by myself. Kobe put this team on his back. Pulled him up by his bootstraps in 2008 and carried them to victory against Spain. You've had enormous, enormous efforts by the likes of Durant previously. LeBron James willed them to a gold medal previously. Even old, what the hell's his name, played at Syracuse?
Carmelo.
Carmelo Anthony was great. He cared. That's the one big win he was able to get after his national championship. What? It looks like nobody is interested. There's this weird mix of disinterest, fatigue, and poor communication. Nobody, Tyler said it earlier in the show, couldn't agree with him more. At this point now, whatever Pop is saying, every night Durant and Lillard are each going to get 25. They're the top dogs on the team. They can dish it to whoever they think has the hot hand or helps give them an advantage against the other team, be they quick, a better passing team, defensive-minded, if they have size. The U.S. has none of it right now. No size, no tempo, no leadership, and no heart.
See, I feel like they think that they're doing us a favor. They're doing, it's like, the Olympics, got to represent my country. Better go over there and kind of, even though I don't want to. Or maybe it's a little bit more difficult since the season just ended. And guys really don't want to play basketball. You go from the bubble to a shortened offseason to a new season to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then sure, you're just exhausted. Maybe you're just tired. But I mean, but it means a lot more for other players. You can look at all the international players and you can look at what Damian Lillard says. And he says, these guys, these international players, they play differently in international play, in the Olympics, World Cup situations. Why is that? Why do these international players play different? Is it just because the rules are different? Is the court smaller? Is the hoop a little lower? Like, what is it?
It's they care.
That's the only thing.
Even if they are, and you could argue that three, if not four, of the top players in the NBA right now, Jokic,
yep.
Doncic, yep. Giannis, Embiid, they're not from around here. These are foreign-born players. The internationalization, the global growth of the NBA has succeeded. People are playing basketball all over the world. Great talent is coming to America to play in the NBA and make their millions. But then, you know what really matters to them? Going home and playing for their nation's flag, putting their country's jersey on their back, and then kicking this team's ass. And right now, everyone's doing it, and no one is stepping up to defend it.
And nobody's afraid of them.
Nope.
Nobody is afraid of them.
What is there to be afraid of?
Say, why would you?
What is there to be afraid of?
So the United States, their next game is against Iran. Okay. I would like to think that they can beat Iran. I would like to think that they could double up Iran. I would like to think that they could beat Australia, France. Honest to God, am I just too arrogant? like an Olympic basketball arrogant a-hole that thinks that the USA should be able to show up and beat them?
They shouldn't necessarily roll everybody, but they should be winning these games, Christian.
There's no way they should have lost to France. No, zero. And tell you what, who doesn't help them is Popovich. So this guy Popovich, who is, I guess, would be the equivalent, like if the United States and the Olympics had a football team, like if that was a competition, like all the other stupid things that are competitions, but fine, I'm watching it either way. Like if Bill was your coach and Bill was throwing that out there,
yeah, that's right,
he would be getting shredded. You'd be like, what? Have you ever coached before in your life?
No.
Because Popovich sounds a lot like Bill did. He sounds a lot like Bill did last year when it seemed like he was making excuses for the team. Here's what Popovich said on the opening loss to France. He says, quote, "When you lose a game, you're not surprised. You're disappointed. I don't understand the word surprised. That sort of disses the French team as if we're supposed to beat them by 30. That's a hell of a team." Now, he said something similar to this after they lost in Vegas, I think, to Australia. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Australia. Like, oh, you're supposed to beat them by 30 points. No, you're supposed to beat them, though.
Just beat them. You don't have to beat them.
You know, it isn't like, you know, we get it. You don't have to beat them by 30 points.
Team USA back in 1992, when we finally allowed professionals back in because they were pissed about the way that they were officiated playing Russia back in 1988, they won by an average of 44 points a game. It's not supposed to be that lopsided now, and that was also the greatest team ever assembled. But you're supposed to win these damn games. You're supposed to have people scoring more than 20 points against France. I understand they have Rudy Gobert and Poirier and Yabusele, whatever. Okay, there's some good defense. Yes, they play quick. Yes, they're tougher on the ball. The U.S. is actually kind of getting pushed around by the rest of the world, Christian, because they're not used to these games that only have, I believe, two referees, and they're not calling everything. You can't bitch for a foul all the time. Sorry, nobody is impressed by the size of your max contract, your sneaker deal, or your superstar appeal. They don't really care. You can't bring all of that glamour and one persona over to anywhere else in the world and be like, hey, aren't I supposed to get a foul? Or like, shouldn't you guys just give us the game? No, the rest of the world wants to beat you. You are right now. Yeah. Team USA is the Patriots every Sunday for teams that would not make the playoffs. It's their Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, you mentioned the money. So that Team USA has over $300 million in combined salary with, I think, Kevin Durant making the most. But money is irrelevant. Money doesn't matter.
Nope.
Like, nobody is sitting there counting their dollars. Like, not Giannis, but he's not playing. But all these other guys, it's not the thing that motivates them. Getting a new contract doesn't motivate them.
Nope.
So, and then the other aspect of this, and I think I want to get to this on the other side. We're going to keep this going, Tyler, because I know we're going to do some Patriots stuff. Maybe we'll save it for tomorrow. But I feel like Jason Tatum is not helping himself.
No.
Jason Tatum, you would think, being the young star that he is, would somehow decide, okay, I think they need me, and start showing up. He isn't. It's probably the biggest mistake, one of the biggest mistakes of his career, because he's looking terrible. We're going to get to that next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, let's keep this going there, Fitzy. We're almost at the finish line. Let's go to Doug in Boston. Doug, what's up? You're on with the Effers.
Whoa. Doug, what up?
Yeah, hey, you guys pick me when I'm right under the tunnel heading home.
All right, I'll put you on hold.
I can stop for a second. No, don't worry.
Okay,
go ahead. I was calling to see if you guys watched the game or not.
Yes.
Okay. Did you not? I agree. The players are at fault. But Popovich did a horrible coaching job. He never changed his rotation when France went the two bigs.
No, that's what we were saying. We're thinking some of the blame is on your head coach. Like, I think he's not doing a good job. No, we're on the same page with you. Like, I mean, there's two aspects of this. There's the player side, and then there's the coaching side, where it seems like he's just, you know, making excuses. Because I will even add to it, Doug, you know, since you brought it up, there is this, there are these rumors, or call them grumblings, you know, out there in Tokyo. This is Joe Vardon from The Athletic. He says that that the locker room, there's some grumblings on their way. The players have some grumblings on the way to their locker room about running the San Antonio offense, when apparently they feel like there are better ideas. Papa says because of the truncated nature of Team USA's training camp, the offense would be based on concepts instead of set plays, Fitzy. So we're just going to run general concepts. Since we don't have like any real time to put some structure in there, I'm just going to give you guys a suggestion. You do what you want to with it. Go.
Even though I have a team that's probably going to work best on set plays because that's the way that they operate usually in the NBA, and a bunch of guys who have never played together, they haven't been on all-star teams together, they haven't played on summer league teams or pickup games together. To try to go overarching conceptual style with them doesn't seem like it's going to work. And also, Christian, how about this? Just play better. Look at this. Listen to how bad this box score reads right now from yesterday's game. How about this? You got Zach LaVine, he's 3-for-6. Lillard only shot 3-for-10. Durant, 4-for-12. Tatum, in his big 9 points, 3-for-9 shooting. Jrue Holiday was their best shooter, going 5-for-13 with 18 points, and Bam Adebayo was 5 out of 8 with 12 points. Not great. Also, how badly were they out-rebounded by France? 44-28. 16 more rebounds to the French team.
Yeah, see, to me, rebounding, loose balls, that to me is all effort. Like, I don't need to get you in a meeting room and diagram plays for you. Like, we don't have to go over strategy. When it comes to rebounds,
shouldn't have to.
Okay, when it comes to loose balls, like, that is just effort. That is my point. So, fine, you let them go on a 16-2 run. You had an opportunity to win the game. Fournier hits a three-pointer. They go up two. You had the very next possession. There's still a ton of time on the clock. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many guys shot the ball, but none of them just said, you know what? I'm just going to take me back to my park days, my AAU days. I'm just going to shoot it up. I got the ball. I'm going to shoot it. It's almost like they rather throw the ball in the ocean than pass it to somebody. Like they just say, or maybe are they so unsure of themselves because they don't know what to do based on what Popovich is telling them?
I can't for the life of me figure out why nobody tried to drive. Like, they made some passes for all those threes that they tried at the end of the game, but why nobody's
just
being
because the
aggressive.
Rebound was out inside the 3-point line. They had no choice. They felt like they needed three. Let's go to David in the car.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. So this goes to show you how difficult it is just to put a team together. And ever since the Dream Team basketball that we had back in the 90s, every year or every Olympics, they seem to think they can just get the better players, put them together, and they're going to beat everybody. And that's not the case. You know, I mean, that Dream Team, those are elite guys. That was a whole different ball game. Now you got these guys, they've never played together. If you've played sports, there's very few sports that you can actually put a team together, like an all-star team in baseball, and you can succeed because the dynamics of it stay a certain way. But when it comes to basketball, when it comes to soccer, God forbid if you're going to do it with football, the same thing. It's so difficult because you cannot get everybody on the same page. You're not practicing enough. There's not enough practice to make you an elite team just like that.
But David, why wouldn't, and I would say this to David or anybody, thanks for the call, why wouldn't other people, I just will never be able to wrap my mind around it, not being able to subjugate just even part of your ego for the greater good of trying to win and represent your country. I don't need hero ball. I don't need any one person. At first, pretty soon they're going to need someone to say, like, F this, I'll take care of it, and I'll make sure that we make our way to the medal stand. Why can't anybody just say, all right, I'm going to push aside a little bit of what I usually do, and I'm going to find a way to work this out with everyone because we have too much talent? They look like they're still, like, practicing, Christian. Like, practice? Yeah. They look like they're still just, like, feeling their way. Guess what? You're one more loss away from getting sent home.
So that's probably, maybe they want that. So what about Jason Tatum? Well, I mentioned Jason Tatum before the break. You think he's doing himself any favors playing out there?
Nope.
I would say Evan Fournier is doing himself more favors. I'm getting a new contract in the NBA. I mean, I know Tatum already has one, but it's more about reputation.
Jason Tatum looks S-A-W-F-T soft.
Okay.
He looks bad. He looks tired. He's like kind of like lethargic.
Like Middleton looked tired.
Yeah, he should be tired. Yeah, he's just literally I just flew in.
Now, wow, they're like really soft.
Yeah, how come? Oh, wow, Rex Ryan dropped. That was tight. Well, how come Drew Holiday wasn't so tired? Because he had 18 points and went on that nice 12-point stretch yesterday. Jason Tatum, yeah, got his five-year, $195 million deal. And I know everyone wants to link him to Bradley Beal coming up here to Boston and having baby bro and big bro together. Okay, great. Right now, if I know that Evan Fournier looks like someone whose value should be skyrocketing the way that he played yesterday, dropping bombs, clutch shots, making great passes, looking like a complete basketball player, best I've seen him look since they acquired him from Orlando, and I saw that Chad Finn tweet yesterday, like, is this Evan Fournier's greatest game as a Celtic? Huh. Well, kind of, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know where is he this season? Is he still, he's still unsigned, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, where is he this season?
If I were the Celtics, I would want to get this guy back if he's capable of this.
If you agree with what Damian Lillard says, that these international players play different in during international competition, then don't take the cheese because he's not the same player. Like he's like that to me says it's almost like Damian Lillard making an excuse. You guys may think that these international players, you know, because they're subs or they're backups, not the stars.
Right.
Okay. So, but no, these guys are better when we're playing in international rules. Why? Because they play harder. They play tougher. Maybe they have a better understanding, or the people that they're playing, they have a better understanding of how things should work. And the United States men's basketball team does not. Like, ultimately, that is my issue. Like, you mentioned this earlier. Like, there's really no, like, what are the established roles? Who's in charge? Who's the captain of the Olympic team? Who is going up there? Who is going to, if they do medal, mm-hmm. who gets their medal first? Because I always felt like that was an indication of who was in charge.
Right.
Who gets the medal first? who put, and I don't, you know what? They don't even put it over your head anymore. You actually have to grab it on your own because of COVID.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, you have to grab the medal on your own. There's no kiss on each cheek, none of that stuff. You got to grab the medal on your own and put it around your neck. Who's in charge?
I'm Kevin Durant.
Yeah, it's supposed to be KD. Kevin Durant should seem like he's in charge of this team. Then, you know what? Take charge. Be in charge of the team. Be the leader. Be vocal. Bring out the best in these guys. Demand better. Demand excellence. Play with some pride. So you're telling me guys like Luka, okay, yeah, making a lot of money playing in Dallas, one of the rising stars of the league, certainly one of my favorite players to watch play. That guy's a killer. He goes out last night. It's not for money. 48, drops a 48 spot for Slovenia. 18-point win over Argentina. Looks like he cares. Obviously, Fournier is going to get his this year. He's made a lot of money playing in the United States. He'll probably make $15 to $20 million this year. Has another couple years in the NBA. Does he take a couple nights off? Does he not play with the same intensity when he's in the NBA? Heavily compensated? Maybe not. Or maybe he does care. Maybe he just wasn't feeling it this year and COVID took something out of him. Sure looked like a different ball player last night with his country's reputation and national pride on the line.
Pride!
And a chance to take down Goliath.
Power!
Yeah, see, they do have a big target on their back, but they should.
Was that Cool Runnings you just dropped, by the way?
Yes, you've never heard the Cool Runnings clip?
No, of course I have.
It's a staple here.
I see pride. I see power.
I see a bad mother.
A badass mother who won't take no crap off of nobody.
Again!
I see pride.
Can I hear you?
I see power. I see a badass mother who won't take no crap off of nobody.
Once again!
I see pride.
Junior!
I see power. I see a badass.
That's one of my all-time favorites.
Can we please run that before the next Team USA game?
No, you got to put it on the board. Here's Kelly in Amherst. Kelly, you're on the effers.
Guys, I'm with you, man. These Team USA guys are playing with no pride. I feel like the Slovenia situation is this guy's like, nobody's even heard of Slovenia. Let me go ahead and try and put the spotlight on them, make them look good, you know, put them on the big stage.
Yep.
With the U.S., it's like they had bigger games they were playing a month or two ago that more people internationally were watching. They don't even care about these games. But I'll tell you what, you were talking about what's wrong with the game. Is it different minutes? Is it a different court? It is a different court because they have that weird, like, triangle paint. And, you know, Bill Walton used to always dissect it and talk about how specifically Carmelo Anthony, his skills translated so well. You mentioned Kobe, but also Melo was some way. He was able to crack the code with that paint. And I feel like having the same body type, you would think Jason Tatum might be able to do some of that same stuff. But, guys, he had to suck it up deep just to, you know, come back and play strong to the end. You got that 50-point game in the playoffs. I got no beef with Tatum. It's these other guys, Lillard, Durant, it's these other guys that should be doing more. Where's the USA pride? Come on, guys.
Where is it? It doesn't. Thank you, Kelly.
Exactly.
I'm the
where
same way.
Where is it?
I'm the same way. Like,
where is it?
I feel like if a lot of people don't, maybe a lot of people don't care. Maybe there's no interest in the Olympics because people are having a hard time finding it. I don't know if it's on NBC, NBC 10, Peacock. I know, like, you know, they
NBC
run
Sports Network.
I have no idea where to find it.
The court channel, is that still a thing?
There was this, like, the other day I was, like, watching, there was, like, it was United States, all United States sports, but an English lady was talking, was like the host. It doesn't make sense. I mean, not to go all Stephen A. Smith on you, but an Englishman can't be doing that. It's got to be American.
Send the money now.
Yeah, no, the broadcast spectrum is a mess, yes. And I also hate the tape delays and, like, oh, wow, the biggest swimming event was at 11:30 at night.
Yeah, but that's fine. That is what it is.
You'll have to deal with
it. I'm
fine
with that.
Yes.
Like, I was watching BMX. I watched sharpshooting. I watched the shooting competition. That was pretty interesting.
Way more interested in table tennis right now than I am Team
handball.
USA versus Iran.
Who was it? I think Tyler was saying that, like, the handball game was basically, you know, guys running around on a basketball court with just a little tiny ball that they're not dribbling. It's basically basketball.
And if it
hits
you, it hurts
ball.
Like a mother effer. Oh, and you know what else is awesome? Water polo. Because you know what it is? It is basically handball in a pool with UFC underwater. These guys are punching and kicking.
See,
and
I think
wrench. The scrum.
There's more sports in the Summer Olympics that I think the United States should dominate. BMX, they should dominate. Skateboarding, water polo, you should dominate water polo. Skateboarding, I mean, I feel like we invented it in California.
Have you seen some of those guys that play water polo in some of these other countries? They show up, they're like all hairy. They don't even have to swim. They float on chest hair with their mustaches and muscles. No way.
No?
No.
I think I feel like we could have a really good handball team.
Here at
the station? I don't think you
need
to be.
Feel that?
I don't feel like you need to be real athletic.
What?
No, you do.
You do.
No, they just jog up and down the court.
I don't think there's one thing in the Olympics.
Give me an Olympics shooting. Fat people would be, unathletic people could be great shooters. Like bow and arrow archery. Well,
like
that'd be another sport.
Course. It's like a whole bunch of stuff.
Tyler was just showing me. They just basically jog down. Like nobody's, like they're just throwing the ball. That's it. Right, Tyler?
Yeah, it looks like you need some sort of athleticism.
You have to jump in, Tyler!
You can only throw the ball from a certain line. So you have to like run to the line and like jump from the line and then kind of throw. You need some sort of athleticism.
Right, we got a break. You came in too late, Tyler. You know, you're there to save my ass and you didn't even do it. Like, thank you. When there's one set of footprints, I know who's carrying me. It ain't you. Last call is next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ordway, Merlone, Fourier, back to OMF on EEI.
All right, kids, it's time for last call here on OMF, done double F effers style with your old pals Fourier and Fitzy. Last call is brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com. That's with a K, or call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS.
Now, are you guys familiar with something called the Savannah Bananas?
No.
The Savannah Bananas do a minor league baseball league in Savannah, Georgia. And I think these guys are going to be the future of baseball, just to kind of give you an idea of what you're in for. This is a player doing his own at-bat announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, get your hands.
Crowd's fired up.
I saw that.
Now,
it's like Kenny Power style.
Too much pressure, though.
So, can I just give you a couple of the rules that I think you guys are going to be very eager to make this in a regular part of baseball? Rule number one, you win the inning, you get the point. So, what does that mean? The team that scores the most run in an inning gets a point. First team to 5 points wins the game.
Love
number two, 2 hour time limit.
Ooh.
So, we get in, we get out.
Like
number three,
golf.
No stepping out of the batter's box. If a batter steps out at any point, you get an automatic strike.
Ooh, I was going to say you get shocked.
Number four, no bunting. Why? Because bunting sucks. Enough said.
Yes, bunting does suck.
Number five, this is where it gets really cool. Number five, batters can steal first. So if you get a pass ball or a wild pitch, you can just drop your bat and sprint to first.
And decide to go
base.
For it?
Yep,
okay.
Absolutely.
I agree with everything so far.
This is my favorite rule. Number six, no walks allowed. So if a pitcher throws the fourth ball, it becomes a sprint. What's a sprint? The hitter will take off sprinting to first while the catcher has to throw the ball around to every defensive position before it becomes a live ball. So if the ball gets dropped at any point during this relay, that's where the runner ends up. And I've seen this. So a guy will get a walk.
What?
Wait, you have to go around the horn?
Every defensive position?
So he has to go around the horn, basically.
The catcher will jump up. And you see the outfielder start sprinting to the infield. You see the infielder start sprinting to the diamond. So the catcher throws to first to second, second to third, and they're bobbling. You can't hold the ball. And then the ball has to make it to the outfield. It has to get to every single defensive
position. Before the
guy
comes home?
If that's where he ends up. So if he ends up in second and they drop the ball.
Oh, so he gets as many bases until it goes basically not just around the horn, but around the whole team. Wild.
It's and then no mound visits. You want to keep the game going. Rule number nine: if a fan catches the ball, it's an out. So if a ball gets fouled into the stands, it's out.
Here for it.
If you're ever in Savannah, I highly recommend check it out.
It'd be funny because cool like stuff. It's safe. Like if
you
had opposing fans,
oh my god,
opposing fans.
Yeah,
listen, I
knock the ball.
I'm gonna knock it out. We're gonna give you a fight. I'm not gonna let them catch it.
And that's think of the viral content you'll get from people fighting in the outfield to stop fans from catching balls if they want it.
Love it.
All right, so what is Mutt's up next?
Manny Mutt.
All right, so Mutt's up next. Thank you.
Great
for
job
joining
today.
In.
Thank you.
I think tomorrow it is Mutt, Merloni, and Fourier. Is that correct?
Are you gonna be here tomorrow?
Well, I'm gonna be here, yes.
Okay, so you sounded the most puzzled about
that. Yeah, you were the
I was like, I don't know if I want to.
Christian, what would you say you do here?
Lou's expected to be back.
It's an MF Tuesday.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks for listening. Have a great evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.